So good to be here again this evening and to see those who have come to continue our worship to our Heavenly Father. Certainly He has been merciful unto us on this day to allow our golden moments to continue to roll on. And we are so thankful to Him for that. Number 526 has been announced as our song of invitation and encouragement this evening. When we stand to sing that, as always, we will be encouraging any who's among us who needs to respond to the Lord in any way. Would you come and respond before it's everlasting and eternally too late? We're going to be studying tonight a lesson based upon something that is said in the book of Mark, chapter 4 and verses 21 through 24. I want to lift the thought from that section of Scripture. But before we get there, I don't know if you are like me, especially if you're over 50, it seems like that not only do you get bombarded with AARP knowing how old you are, but you also probably bombarded with letters in the mail and invitations in the mail to come and have your hearing checked. I guess at that time of life that they know that people who are getting on up in the age that they are having problems with hearing. As a matter of fact, you know, Solomon even talked about that in Ecclesiastes chapter 12. So that is a fact that not only do older people have problems with hearing, but sometimes younger do, but more so in those who are in the older years. So tonight, I chose to share with you a lesson entitled, Have You Had Your Hearing Checkup? Just reading or looking in today's paper, and there are two advertisements in there that are soliciting those who need to have their hearing checked. Right, Hearing Center being one of the places. Another place is the Center for Hearing. So they're concerned about people hearing. Of course, in my mind, they're concerned more so about the dollar bill. But nevertheless, that is a good thing to have our hearing checked. If we respond by going in for the test or for the checkup, usually we are going hoping that we don't have a problem. But if we do have a problem, then we, I'm sure, desire that something can be done to, if not alleviate the problem, at least to remedy the problem so that our hearing can be somehow made better. Well, tonight I'm not talking about the physical hearing. While that is important from the physical sense, but more so than the physical sense, problems can arise in our spiritual hearing. And so that's what I'm talking about tonight. Have you had your hearing checkup? I'm talking about your spiritual hearing checkup. I want us to look in the Bible tonight, somewhat briefly, about some who passed their spiritual hearing test. Then there were some who failed the the here and text. So as we go through this again, I want us to make a self-introspection, a look at ourselves to see whether we are passing it or whether we are failing it. Certainly, if we're passing it, then that's well and good. But if we're failing it, then something needs to be done to remedy the situation. Jesus, in Mark chapter 4, had a long discussion with the scribes and with the Pharisees.
This is further on in Luke chapter 11. But before we get there, let's go to our base text.
In Mark chapter 4, a parable had been given of the soils and the seed that was sown in the soils. Four categories of soil had been discussed. The wayside, the stony, those sown among thorns, and then the good ground. These four types of soil had been discussed. And after discussing those types of soils and giving the explanation of what this parable was all about, Jesus said this in Mark chapter 4, verse number 21. And he said unto them, is a camel brought to be put under a bushel, on the bed, and not to be set on a camel stick? For there is nothing hid which shall not be manifested, neither was there anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad. In verse 23, he says this, if any man have ears to hear, let him hear. And he said unto them, take heed what you hear. With what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you, and unto you that hear shall more be given. Verse 23 again. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. Verse 24, take heed what you hear. Remember again, he had just finished talking about the different types of soil. And in each one of those instances, he talked about those that seed that was sown by the wayside, the person heard. He talked about that seed that was sown on stony ground, that person heard. He talked about the seed that was sown in the pleasures of the world, or among thorns, that was choked out by the pleasures of the world. That person heard. He talked about the good ground. That person heard. Hearing was talked about in each one of those instances. But what was the problem? The problem was, in the first three instances, they had a spiritual hearing problem. Only the last one, that fell on good ground, had a good hearing problem. A good hearing test, if you will. They passed it. No problem with that fourth one, but the problem came with the first three ones. So therefore, he says, you need to be very careful how you hear. You need to take heed to what you hear. Well, when we make some applications of this, tonight I want to talk about two that passed the hearing test, two occasions that is in the Bible. I want to talk about two that failed. On the day of Pentecost, in Acts chapter 2, we're familiar with that chapter, I'm sure. There were some people that heard, and they responded appropriately to what they heard, and
God added them, or the Lord added them to the church. They passed the hearing test. You know what they said in Acts chapter 2 and verse number 37? The Bible says, then they that heard Peter preach, they were pricked in their heart. And they said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter told them what to do. He said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to them that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. The Bible went on and said, and with many other words did he testify unto them and exhort them, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Verse 41 says this, then they that gladly received his word, they heard it and they gladly received it. They were glad to hear it because they had asked the question, what shall we do? They were baptized, the Bible says. And that same day was added to them about, what? 3,000 souls. So they heard the word gladly. When we hear the word of God, we ought to hear it gladly. We ought to be so glad to hear the word of God until we will do just like these people, respond to it in a positive manner. I'm going to talk a little bit later about some who didn't respond to the word of God in a positive manner. Therefore, they failed the test. But these people on the day of Pentecost, at least 3,000 of them passed the hearing test, the spiritual hearing test. They gladly received the word of God, and the Lord saved them. You see, the word of God is the remedy for our sin. Again, they were in their sin. They recognized they were in their sin, and so they said, men and brethren, what shall we do? We need God's word to take care of our sin problem. Without the word of God, we would have no remedy for our sin problem. We would never be able to be made free from our sin problem. That's why John was inspired to write in John chapter 8 and verse 31, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The truth is nothing other than the word of God. John 17:17 teaches us that. So it is the word of God that makes us free from our sin. What was it that made those people free from their sins on the day of Pentecost? It was their responding to the word of God in a positive manner. And they did that because they gladly received the word of God. I submit to us tonight that only those who gladly hear the word of God will obey the Lord. Because if you don't gladly hear it, you won't gladly respond to it. You may go through the action, the motion of doing what God says, but if you are not glad to hear it, you will not respond to it in the right mindset with your right heart. Therefore, it's needful for us to hear the word of God gladly and respond to it in a positive manner. So there were some on the day of Pentecost who heard the word of God gladly. Let's be those kind of folks. Not only were there some that heard it gladly, but there were some in Bible times who heard the word of God continually. There were some Gentiles that fell into this category. In Acts chapter 13, Paul was in Antioch of Pisidia, and he began to talk to the people there about how God had delivered the Jewish nation out of Egyptian bondage, and how he had put them in the land of Canaan. And in the process of time, they asked for a king, and God gave them a king. And of course, the first king failed, But he raised up another king by the name of David, a man after his own heart. And he said to them that it was through the lineage of David that Jesus Christ came. I'm summing up what was said. And it was through Jesus Christ that they had the opportunity to have the forgiveness of their sins. And so they heard what he said, and they were glad, just like the people on the day of Pentecost, they were glad to hear what he said, and they wanted to hear it again and again. Listen to what the Bible says. Acts 13, verse 42. And when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them when? The next Sabbath day. I made reference to something similar to this a few Sundays ago when somebody might say, well, you know, I've heard that sermon before. Well, these Gentiles had heard that sermon before, but they wanted to hear it again. They wanted to hear it again. Now, when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. And the next Sabbath day came almost the what? Whole city together to hear the word of God. I wonder why almost the whole city came together. Do you not think that they got the word from these people that were there last week about what had been preached, what had been taught, and the whole city wanted to come to hear the word of God? But if they had not wanted to hear it again, they would have never spread the news, and the whole city wouldn't have come together. It may be, as I made reference this morning and I make a reference tonight, it may be that we may not be growing as we ought to is because somebody may not want to hear the word of God again and again and again. And so they're not telling other folks about, come and hear what we are hearing. Come and learn what we are learning. Come and share in what we are sharing. These Gentiles, they were so excited about what they heard because, you see, they realized that at one time, as Paul said to the Ephesian Christians who were Gentiles, at one time they were without God and Christ in the world. And when somebody came along and told them about Christ and told them that they had an opportunity to have their sins forgiven and be a part of this fellowship in Christ Jesus, I'm sure this excited them and they wanted to hear it again. They heard it continually. Even in the city of Athens, that city that was given over to idolatry, the Bible says there were some folks there that wanted to hear it again. Acts 17 and verse 32, the Bible says, and when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, yes, some made fun of, yes. And others said, what? We'll hear thee again on this matter. I want to say to us tonight, brothers and sisters, that there's somebody that wants to hear God's word again and again. And I hope we are in that category, that we want to hear the word of God again and again and again, because the word of God serves as a reminder to us to what we ought to be about in doing the business of God. These people then, these Gentiles, they heard it continually. And speaking about hearing it continually and hearing it over and over again, we ought to get in the category with David. David said in Psalm 1 and verse 2, I'm sure we know what he says there. He says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law does he meditate day and night. In our meditation, we are mentally hearing the word of God over and over. David says, I am delighting in the word of God, and I am meditating, talking about that man, that blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. He said his delight is in the law of the Lord. He wants to meditate on it. He wants to hear it continually over and over again. Joshua the second leader of the children of Israel on their way to the Canaan land, was told to meditate on the word of God. Joshua chapter 1 and verse number 8, the Bible says, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein." I wonder why he was commanded, why he was told to meditate on it day and night. Because if you don't keep meditating on it, if you don't keep going over it, if you don't keep replaying it in your mind, you're going to forget about something I said for you to do. So he says, "I want you to think deeply about what my law says, day and night. And if you do that," he says, thou wilt be what? Prosperous. You'll make thy way prosperous, and thou shalt have good success. It may be tonight the reason why we are not having good success in our spiritual lives is because we are failing to hear the word of God continually, meditating on the word of God continually. And so we have struggles in our lives, and we don't know how we're going to get through it because we forgot that God says, "I'll be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you." You can come boldly because Christ has been through this world and he has suffered the same things that you've suffered. So you don't have a high priest who cannot be touched with the feeling of your infirmities. He was tempted in all points just like you were. So you can come boldly. I'm paraphrasing what Hebrews 4 says. You can come boldly to the throne of grace to find mercy and grace to help in the time of need. But if we don't keep meditating, we forget that. So these people, they heard, they meditated on the word of God. They didn't get weary with it. As I talked about those priests getting weary this morning, the priests got weary. No wonder the folks got weary because the priests got weary. And I say to us again tonight, if the leaders are going to get weary, what you think the followers going to do? If the Bible class teacher get weary, what do you think the class students are going to do? If the parents get weary, what do you think the children are going to do? If the husband get weary, what do you think the wife is going to do? So it is needful for us not to become weary, not to become tired of hearing and meditating on the word of God. But let's be a people that want to hear it and meditate on it continually. They passed the test because they heard it continually. But what about those who fail? Some listen to the word of God, but they have the wrong motives in listening to it. Some have the motive of, if I hear the word of God, perhaps maybe I can bring some accusation against the person that's saying it or what I've heard. This happened with the scribes and the Pharisees. In Luke chapter 11, Jesus had spent some time rebuking and pronouncing woes upon the scribes and the Pharisees because of their hypocritical life. And near the end of that rebuke, or I should say at the end of that rebuke, this is said in verse 53 and 54. "And as he said these things unto them, the scribes and the Pharisees began to urge him vehemently and to provoke him to speak of many things." They provoked him and urged him to keep on talking about many things, but what was their motive? "Laying wait for him and seeking to catch something out of his mouth that they might accuse him." Isn't that a pity? Isn't that a shame? To be standing face to face to the word, as Jesus describes himself in John chapter 1, listening to him speak the word to them, and then they are lying in wait, hoping that they can catch something that he'll say that they can accuse him of. Some folks are like that even in Christianity. They're just trying to hear something so that they can accuse somebody of, bring an accusation of. Some folks are not so concerned about what the lesson is all about. Sometimes folks are concerned how it's presented so they can accuse the presenter, accuse the teacher. They didn't have the right attitude. They passed the test. It would have been so easy for them to say, Lord, we hear what you're saying. You got us. You nail us. We're going to change our way. We're no longer going to be those hypocrites that you've described us as being. We see ourselves in exactly what you've said about us. But instead of them saying that, they are urging him vehemently, keep on talking so we can catch something that you say that we can accuse you of. Let us never be those type of individuals. Hearing the word of God, looking for something to accuse somebody of. But we ought to hear the word of God so that we can benefit from it our own lives. Same thing happened to these same group of folks. The same category, it may not have been the same men in this setting, but the same category, scribes and the Pharisees in John chapter 8, y'all know the story, that brought this lady to Jesus that had been caught in adultery. The Bible says this in John chapter 8, verse number 2, and early in the morning he came unto the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and the Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery, and when they had set her in his midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned, but what sayest thou? That sounds like an honest question, but it wasn't, because of what the Bible continues to say. This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. Isn't that amazing? They wasn't asking for truly information. They were asking, hoping again, that he'd say something that they could accuse him of. Let us not be like that. You know, sometimes people will do anything hoping just to win an argument. But doing God's will and being pleasing to God is not about winning an argument. Pleasing God is about doing his will. So these people, they listen hoping to be able to bring accusation. Pass the test. I'd rather flunk the test. Flunked it. And then here's another group. We'll soon be through. In Jeremiah 6 and verse 16 and 17, another scripture that was familiar with us. Jeremiah said this, thus says the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and you shall find what? Rest for your souls. Don't you think that those folks should have wanted rest for their souls? We want rest for our souls, don't we? They should have wanted rest for their souls. But you notice what they said? But they said, we will not walk therein. And it looks like that he gave them another opportunity to change their mind. The next verse says, also I sent watchmen over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken. It sounded like what they were saying. I don't care what you say. I don't care how you plead with us. We are not going to walk therein. So they were hearing the word of God, but they heard it with no intention of obeying it. Believe it or not, if it happened in Bible times, it still happens today. There are folks still who hear the word of God, but have no intention of obeying it. What a sad commentary that is. To hear the word of God, but have no intention of obeying it. A contemporary of Jeremiah was Ezekiel. He talked to some folks And here's what it said concerning the attitudes of some people that he was dealing with. In Ezekiel chapter 33, verse number 30, the Bible says this, "Also thou son of man, the children of thy people still are talking against thee by the walls and in the doors of the houses, and speak one to another, every one to his brother, saying, Come, I pray you, and hear what is the word that cometh forth from the Lord." Now that sounds like a good statement. And it is a good statement up to that point. Here's some folks that are saying, look like they're just encouraging one another. Come on, y'all. Let's go to church. And let's hear what the word of God has to say. But their motives were wrong. Look at what it continues to say. The Bible says this, "And they come unto thee as the people cometh, and they sit before thee as my people, and they hear thy words, but they will not do them." Isn't that amazing? Here they are saying, come on, let's go. Let's hear what the word of God says, as though they're going to obey it, knowing all the time that they're just going to go there and just hear it and not going to do anything about what they heard. Don't be like that, church. And then it says this, "But they will not do them, for with their mouth they show much love." They talk in a good game with them. "They show much love, but their heart goeth after their covetousness. And lo, thou art unto them as a very lovely song." Ezekiel, you are sounding to them as a very lovely song of one that has a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument. "For they hear thy words, but they do them not." Ezekiel, you can preach good. You have a great delivery. You sound so good when you tell us the word of God. But that's all we want, is just a good sound. We're not going to do anything that you say. They flunked the test. They heard the same thing that is the word of God that the people did on the day of Pentecost. They heard the same thing that these Gentiles heard, that is the word of God. But when they heard it, we ain't going to do anything about it. Oh, we're going to talk about it. We're going to say, let's go and see what he's got to say. And it's coming from the Lord. Notice they didn't say, see what Ezekiel had to say. But they says, what? That cometh forth from the Lord. What a disdain to our God to hear his word and not be willing to obey it. So tonight, as I close, some hear the word of God gladly. Some hear it continually. Some hear it hoping to find something in it to accuse somebody of. Then there are some who hear it with no intention obey. So I say to us as I close tonight, have you had your spiritual checkup, hearing checkup? Are you hearing the word of God gladly? That's well and good. Are you hearing it continually? That's well and good. But if you're hearing it hoping to accuse somebody of something they say, or if you're hearing it with no intention of obeying it, you need to do something about it. And I know you and I tonight, we wouldn't go to an auditory facility or a hearing clinic or hearing doctor, whatever you say, and he would say to us, you need to do this to help your hearing. We'd walk out the door and say, I wouldn't do it. No, because we want to hear everything that somebody say. Sometimes, good or bad, we want to hear it. So we'll say, yes, doc, what can you do for me? He says, if you got good insurance, here's what we can do. And you say, yeah, I got good insurance. Let me have it, doc. Well, let's have that same attitude if we look at ourselves introspectively and see that we're not hearing God and passing this hearing test, that we'll say, let me change my attitude toward what I hear so that I can be just like that last category of soil, that last type of soil that was mentioned in Mark chapter 4. It was the good soil. It said, it fell on good ground, and it brought forth plentifully, some 30-fold, some 40-fold, some 100-fold. Why? Because it passed the hearing test. Let us strive then, brothers and sisters, to pass the spiritual hearing test. If you're here then tonight, and you need to obey the Lord, we want to encourage you to come. Come before us, everlasting and eternally too late. If you need to respond tonight, while we stand, while we sing, would you come?
Gentle Savior, oh,